I guess you guys are in a hurry to get going because, I mean, I got another minute or two before the next bell rings and you're ready to go because it got real quiet all of a sudden. So we'll just take a deep breath here a minute and get ready to start here this morning. You know, it's interesting that Jordan on Wednesday night kind of announced that I would be teaching class this morning, and I think that's interesting because nobody misses Jordan as much as I do right now. He does such a wonderful job, and I do appreciate all the work he does. I was talking to Matt in the back, and he says, now, I'm going to close the doors now. I said, yeah, so I can't run? And he said, well, you can hit one of these doors. So if you see me headed, you know, might be somebody needs a block or something over there. Just get going, though. Anyway, we're glad to have you here this morning. If you're streaming with us, we're glad to have you with us as well to join our class. We're talking about the third commandment this morning. From the Ten Commandments of do not take the Lord's name in vain. And so it's a topic that is really interesting because if you look at the world, and those of us who are older, if you go back, and I am saying older, not old yet, because I'm still in that older category, not old. If you go back, say, 20 years, and you think about the dialogue and language you might have heard in the world, if you're in the business world, it might be a dialogue you have with customers or colleagues. If it's in even the world of schools and those type of things, you would not hear the kind of language that we hear today. And it's interesting because what they say and how they say it, it's like they're just using regular dialogue if it's in normal English, and words that we would consider inappropriate, we would sit there and say, wow, it's gotten really bad on TV, I think. It's gotten to the point where I can barely stand watching a movie or a show now that is rated PG or PG-13 even, because the language can get so bad, it cringes when you hear it and constantly badger it. And when you see that, you always start to think about, that's the world we're living in now. It's not 20 years ago. It's not how it was when you didn't hear those words very often or rarely, if at all. And people were respectful when they did use language in addition. So we talk about what we hear today. So what I'd like to do is kind of start out, first of all, and ask you, okay, well, it doesn't like me this morning. Are you kidding me? It gets one and then goes? Oh, there it is. Okay. You're sitting in a restaurant. I need you to imagine yourself. You're sitting in a restaurant. And, of course, before COVID, you can really hear much better because you're not spread out as much. But you usually hit real close. And around you, you hear people talking and listening. You listen to people, what they're saying. They're pretty loud. You can figure out what they're saying. And you listen. So you're starting to listen there while you're eating. And you get this. If you were talking about trust, or wills, or court appointments, and stuff like that. What kind of people do you think they are? You can talk. I won't bite. Okay? Probably lawyers, right? All right? If they were talking about blood flow, or pathology reports, or anything dealing with the medical field, what would you think? Doctors or nurses, that's what we have, okay? And if you would say you're talking about interest rates and mortgages and multiple listings, they're probably what? They're realtors. Real estate agents. What? Did I miss something? I missed something. Anyway, the point still being is, if somebody was listening to you at the table, what would they assume you are? You ever think about that? People are listening. They're listening to you no matter where you are and what you're doing. They're listening to you. If you're not being who you are, they're going to have a judgment about you. I don't care what you say, how you say it, and when you say it, they're going to make a judgment about you. They're going to have to understand that you are who you are. So if you're using language and speech that's not condoning to a Christian, what are they going to think? I think that's important when we think about that. So we talk about this as going on, and when we do this, is words are window to the soul, they say. Now, how many people have ever heard that? I had not. Now, I need to back up a second and kind of give you an introduction about Jordan. Jordan announced Wednesday night that I was going to teach class. And he says, Craig's going to get free reign to do what he wants to do and how he's going to do it. There's not going to be handouts or anything, and I don't have any handouts. But he sent me 5 pages of notes for my lesson, just like he did Breck. And I look at the notes and I say, why do I need to write my own? These are awesome, so I'm using them. So if you want to blame anybody, we'll talk to Jordan later about this. So give an idea of where the information came from, or a good bit of it did anyway. So we say words are windows to the soul. Actually, if you look on the internet and do a browse, you'll find a few statements of that. But most of the time you'll hear eyes are the window to the soul. Okay? And then you'll look a little closer, you'll say the mouth is the door, or words are the door to your soul. Which is interesting when you start thinking about that. What does it reveal about a person when they misuse the name of God? What do you think? What do you consider? How do you feel? If you had a conversation with somebody in the world and didn't know anything about them, based upon what they say, you can make a pretty good educated guess whether they're a Christian or not, or spiritually related. They can do that about us too. I've been in several situations where I've talked to a client who is probably got one of the pottiest mouth, if you don't mind me saying that, of anybody I've ever known. And I've never said anything to him, but now he gets to the point where he lets one go and he goes, oh, sorry, Craig. And I've never said a word to him, ever. But he knows I don't use it, and so therefore he understands, okay? So what does it say about us when we are using wrong language? What do you think it does? What does this mean to you? What do you think when somebody says that? Or they use a euphemism when they're really mad and they take the Lord's name in bed. What happens? More than likely, they probably got a problem with anger, don't they? They have anger or self-control problems. They indicate that maybe the heart is not what God wants it to be. They don't appreciate God. They don't revere God. It says that the windows are windows to the soul. One of the clearest indications of what's in our heart are the fruits that flow from it. We are what we say. So we have lack of understanding. We don't appreciate God. If you use God's name in vain, do you appreciate God at all? If you understood God or had a relationship with God, would you ever use that kind of language? It'd be difficult, wouldn't it? In Matthew 26, it says, a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, you really are one of them as well, since even the way you talk gives you away. Isn't that interesting? Peter was an example, just by being there, of who he was and what he stood for. I believe he didn't have to tell them who he was or what he did. I believe for a fact that he did this because he knew who he was, and they could see it in how he acted and especially how he talked. Words are the windows to the soul. They will reveal your heart faster than anything else you can do. James always talked about taming the tongue, right? Be careful what you say. Managing the mouth. You know, there's something that may come up here in just a minute is not everything you think needs to come out of your mouth. I think Jordan said that last week too, I think, if I'm not mistaken. That also applies to not everything you think needs to go under the typewriter and be on Facebook. Something to think about. You are presenting yourself, your heart, when you write, when you speak. And it's very important that we realize that. Third commandment is, the official commandment we're talking about here, this is what Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not take the Lord's name, the name of the Lord, your God, in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Think about what that really means. Euphemisms are common in this world, right? We replace the bad word with something that's close to it, that's not bad. Is there any difference, really? I mean, that's interesting, I think. I see here it says, oh, bless their heart. Okay, well, that's okay. Now, oh, my, Then they say, or they say the word darn or something like that. Okay, you'll say, well, that's not as bad. What is it revealing, though? It doesn't matter what word you want to put back behind it. It has no difference. The matter does not make a difference what name you put behind it. It's the attitude by which you are saying it. What is in your heart? If you're angry and you hit your hand, and never anybody hit their thumb with a hammer or something, and what happens? Well, it hurts, but what comes out of here? If you didn't hear that, he says you put your thumb in your mouth so you don't say anything. And there's some truth to that. I mean, that's one way to stop it, right? Plug it so it can't come out, right? But there is a lot of reality is if we were to say something, even if it wasn't the actual what we consider a curse word or a improper word, is it any different? It really isn't, is it? Because it has to do with your heart, what you are is. God, if you put any word behind God, you're already in trouble if you're doing it in the wrong heart. All right, so let's go on and see if we can push through. All right, names are important. What's in a name? This is kind of an interesting exercise if you think about it, okay? Let me ask you a question. Why are you named what you're named? Not necessarily an answer, but I want you to think about that. Why were you named what you were named? I think my mom told me I was named Craig because she liked the name. I was named Alan, my middle name, because it was a friend of theirs that she grew up with and was very close to, and that's where I got my name, Alan. Sweet, I can't do anything about that one. That one just, you get it, right? So it happens. But how about you? Where did you get your name, and why? Does your name mean anything to you or to your family or to those around you? Why is it that you have that? Okay, so let me ask you another question here. When you have your children, how much agony did you have trying to figure out what to name those kids? I know that I have to pick on Megan, and I hope she's in here, because Megan, it was so much fun listening to them, trying to figure out how to name the kids, and to come up with the different names, and I could hear names, and, oh, I can't name her that. I knew so-and-so, and it was, oh, she was terrible. You think about that a second. Why do you name your kids what you named them? What's the typical reason we do that, okay? Why did you choose those names? Why? Because many of us choose it based upon family. Maybe it is a tradition. Maybe there is the name that sounds good. You like the way it sounds. Or maybe it is nothing more than current trends. And another idea here is when we named our third son, and for you who don't know, and if he's streaming, I love you, brother. I love you. Michael was a toot. Growing up, he was a toot. And he'll tell you, he got kicked out of every single Bible class by every single Bible class teacher at one point in order when he was a kid. He was a toot, but he's brilliant, okay? So when we name Michael as he's growing up, we're always saying, Michael, don't do that. Michael, don't do that. And then you get to the point where you say, you hear people, Michael, don't do that. Michael, don't. And we're saying, it's not our Michael. Evidently, that was a bad name to give that year because they were all toots. Every time you turn around, you hear somebody yelling Michael. And it wasn't in a positive way. But anyway, we did name our third son Michael. And so we get to the point where we have to understand that names have meanings. Just for our four kids up there, Jonathan's our oldest. And his name basically means Yahweh was given, has given. Daniel is our second one. God is my judge. Michael, who is like God or a gift from God, and yes, he was a gift from God, no doubt about it. He was a toot from the time he was in mama's womb to the die to today, this day. And so he's still a gift from God, and that means a lot. And then we have Megan, who is a pearl. And what a blessing she is. And what's interesting about Megan also is if you look at different languages, the pearl is the Hebrew translation of Megan. Other ones say strong and capable. Boy, that describes her to a T. Child of light. Yes, you bet. She does a great job of letting her light shine, and we're very blessed and happy to have her. But let me ask you a question, though. What about Bible times? What about the ancient ways? Why did they name their kids what they named them? Did they think about, that sounds good? Did they think about, well, you'll see some relatives, son of, that may be the two of them possibly, but really there's a really basic reason is why ancient times are chosen based upon what the names meant. And you think about God, what does the word God mean? Then you sit there and say, is it something that's just a name to us, or is it something that's revered and important? Think about Moses means drawn out. And why do we have Moses drawn out? Drawn out of the River Nile. And in fact, if you look at the Egyptian word, it is son of drawn out, I think it's a son of, because it was given to Pharaoh's daughter, right? And so the word Moses was given in the Egyptian meaning. And then we have things like Abraham. Now, Abram before was, what does his name mean, Abram before, remember? It just means father. That's correct. It's just father. What does Abraham mean? Well, it's great father or father of many nations is what, or father of a multitude. Does that describe why God changed his name? Why? Go back to Genesis chapter 12. What happened? The promise. And one of the promises was to make his name great, or his and nations and all that go with that. How about Simon? Means listen or hearing. Cephas or Peter means rock. Okay? And Jesus changed Peter's name, or said, you will now be known as Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And so that is also appropriate why Jesus named him Peter versus Cephas. Okay, he changed him. And of course, we have the one that we know the most about, Jesus. What does Jesus mean? If you really look at the definition of Jesus, it is salvation, right? Jehovah is our salvation. You can look at Matthew 1:21 and you can see that there. So names do have meaning. So let me ask you a question here. Let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 1. In that, you'll see it says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Is that true to you? How would you interpret that to mean today? Pardon me? My reputation is more important than money. I want to use the word. It should be more than important than anything, just about, except for our Christian name, right? But our name means something. If you hear certain names, do you have a thought behind that, right? Craig Sweet. Oh, I know that guy. Right? It means something. I used to do an exercise, and maybe we'll try it here real quick. Close your eyes for a second. Don't go to sleep. Just close your eyes. You're walking in a room. Lots of people standing around, banging around, clanging. They're all talking and whispering, and you're kind of walking through, but they're not paying attention to you. But you see them, but you don't understand what's going on. You wade through the crowd a little bit, and there you find it's a casket sitting there. And you look in the casket, and you look in, and you go, it's me. What are they saying about you in that room? What is the dialogue they're saying about you? It's all about you at this point. Are they saying you were a fine Christian, a fine dad, a fine husband, a fine whatever? What are they saying about you? You live and show people through what you say and what you do every single day, and it will be with you. Your name means something. You can open your eyes so you don't go to sleep on me. So anyway, my point still being is this. People are listening to who you are and the type of person you are, and they will continue to remember you. If you're considered something that is less than admirable, that's what they're going to talk about. So let me give you an example. How many people would name your children after one of these? You did? Ron said he named one after one. I don't know which one it was, but, you know. Think about those names up there for a minute. What's that? There's a reputation involved with the name, is there not? I was trying to figure out some other ones that aren't up there that are probably notorious in history. Like, I think Attila the Hun was one of them that was pretty brutal and ugly and awful. And there's some women up there that in the history that were just worse than some of the men and vicious and mean. That's what they're known for in history. When we named Megan, I guarantee you, we did not put Jezebel on the list of names. Why? It's obvious. It carried with it a reputation, did it not? Jezebel, everybody would pretty well, if you said her name's Jezebel, what would you do? Right? Whoa, I'm getting away from this one. It's real interesting that the name is important. So God's name is sacred. When you hear the word God, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Did I lose my little phone?
Yeah, hanging over your left side.
Boy, I'm too just bouncing around too much, I guess. Is that better? All right, you can hear me again. Sorry about that. I could tell you it wasn't being heard. So, let's talk about some of the names of God then. What do we know about names of God? God? Okay, we got that one down. Okay. Oh, there's, and I'll get to you in just a minute. When it comes to the name of God, there is no greater, higher, more honorable name than this. And before I get to you, I'm going to give you some more names in just a minute here. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the names because it's really more of a list of names for your consideration, not that we'll spend a time on each one because the list is quite long and we could be here till next week if we had to be. Psalms 111:9 says, He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome. Don't you love that name? Awesome is His name. When you think of something awesome, it's better than good, right? It is awesome. Think about God's name. It's awesome. And when you start thinking about awesome, you start thinking reverence pretty quick, don't you? It is holy. It is magnificent. Psalms 8:1, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Majestic is his name. Matthew 6:9, pray then in this way. What is this referring to? You remember this? This is Jesus, right? Ask how to pray. And what's the first thing he says? Pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, or who is in heaven, depending upon what translation you use. What's the word? Hallowed. That's not a name we use every day, is it? So let's put another word in there. What would that word be? Then hallowed. Holy. Well, does that really get to us today, is holy? Yeah, some of us would understand holy, but what's a better word than that even?
Pure.
Sacred. Think about when you're praying, dear God. Just stop right there and think about what that means. Dear God. Does that make you want to kind of just want to, I want to get down on my face is what I want to do. Sometimes and say, dear God, please, dear God. Some of the names, L, you started saying L, right? And I could get into a couple lessons here just on that one word right there. L means what? Give you a hint. Might, powerful. Now, there are lots of suffixes and prefixes used for that. So I just give you this chart. Again, I'm not going to spend all the time to go through this chart because it would take way too long to do that. But keep in mind some of those L's that are used in the New Testament. I do want to pick out one that is not up there. And I only want to spend 1 minute on, then I'm going to go on because I could do a whole lesson on this. El Elohim. You knew it was coming, didn't you? It's not up there, is it? It's one word. Because it is God, right? Elohim is God. And it is considered in Genesis chapter 1, let us, Elohim, make man in our own image, our own image. That Elohim there is the plurality of God. And let's leave it right there, because we could go down the entire lesson around the deity and the three beings and personalities is what the probably the best word of that. But that's what I want you to keep in mind, because that's an important one to have in your knowledge. So we go into some of the names, and some of this has been covered before, but so I want to go through it a little bit quickly, is we talk about Jehovah. This is the Yahweh we're talking about. We always call it Yahweh because there's no vowels in the actual word, right? So we got to figure out something to say, kind of get close. Have anybody played the game where you look at a license plate and you come up with a name, a word that makes like the first three letters? You figure out what name it is and go, ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, that's not a good one. Is there any way that we do the same thing here, don't we? It's a four-letter word. I don't mean it that way. It's a four-letter word that basically has no vowels. In English, it's hard to translate what that word is and how it even sounds, right? So the idea being is Yahweh, we come up with, or Jehovah, often given as Yahweh, written as Lord and God. Notice that the lowercase or uppercase small caps letters in the word Lord, referring to, right, Yahweh, to exist, to be, or I am. Isn't that interesting? Why did God tell Moses who sent him? I am. I am, I was, I am, I will be forevermore, I am. Yahweh proper is the proper noun name of God. And what's really interesting is the Jews were so afraid that they might take God's name in vain, they refused to speak the name Yahweh for any reason. Think about how that would be. We hear it used all the times. When scribes, and again, this is something that I read through George's notes. When scribes would copy the law, when they came up the name of the Lord, they would wipe the pen and wash their entire bodies before writing the most holy name of God, Yahweh, every time they wrote it. I've never heard of that before. Has anybody else ever heard of that before? I had not heard of that before. While these acts are certainly commendable, they miss the heart of the command. What is really the heart of the command? Not say the word? It is not the heart of the command. It's not the intention. The intention is very easy to say, is to be respectful and reverent when the name is used. Okay? Yahweh is not in the New Testament. Did you know that? Well, okay. Somebody's always got to split those hairs a little bit. I don't know if you heard what he said. He said, well, yeah, it's not in the New Testament because it wasn't written in Hebrew. If you didn't hear that. Of course it wasn't written in Hebrew, but the whole term, that type of term, is not even translated in the New Testament that way. Okay. I won't debate that right now. We haven't got time for that, but we can talk later if you want. So the idea, though, is this was a reverent situation for the Jews that basically knew how this was supposed to be used, okay? All right. Here's another chart of the compound words of Jehovah used in the New Testament with some verses there. I'm welcome to share these charts with you. If you want them, just let me know and I'll send them to you. And so I'm going to move on. So taking the Lord's name in vain, when you think about the word vain, I'm not talking about V-E-I-N, of course, because we have some medical people here, and that's the first thing they're thinking of when you say vain. They're thinking about poking in your arm. V-A-I-N, what is the thought that goes through your mind when you say vain? Is it a positive word? Is it something you think of as being a good thing? You know, a vein of gold. Okay. Except I think it's spelled V-E-I-N, if I'm not mistaken. So you say, oh, that's not good. How about vain? Vain means what? What do you think of? Well, here's some words that you might want to think about. Futile, empty, without value, without respect, having no substance or of any of importance. Does that sound right? So if I take the name of the Lord in vain and I'm looking at that, what am I doing? I'm saying God is empty, futile, without value, without respect, no, not important. That's when we use that way, that's what happens. Barclay says, the word describes that which is empty, insincere, frivolous. The commandment then lays it down that the name of God must never be used in an empty, frivolous, or insincere way. Cottrell says, using his name in thoughtless, irreverent, empty, basically is a hypocritical action or a hypocritical way. All right, so you see vain. Okay, so what do you think of the word blasphemy? Is that any different than vain? What's that?
Speaking against what is holy.
What's the difference between that and vain? I think there's one key difference between vain and blasphemy. For those in here, he basically says vain is doing something intentional without care, is what you're saying? Or not intentional without care. And blasphemy is intentional. Okay. Anybody else? It's a good way. What else? I know it's very hard in this auditorium to speak up. I get that. Yes, sir. The only thing I can answer to that, and the question is blasphemy ever used anywhere else except for in relationship to God? That was the question. And my answer to that is, I think blasphemy is the only thing we ever use associated with God, period. Whether it's used otherwise or not, you can be blasphemous of a company. Speak evil of it, or unrespectful of a company. You can be blasphemy. It can be considered blasphemy. But we don't use that word. I agree. I just said that's an interesting point to consider, too. You can use it, but we only hear about it when dealing with God. I think of this, to give you just another perspective here, not definitely wrong or right, is vain is more about me, and blasphemy is more about God. Vain, I am vain in myself. I am being vain. Being blasphemous means I am being inconsiderate, or outside, going out of me. It's not about me, it's about the other person. In general, that's kind of how I would look at the two, all right? So in that case, though, we have what comes to mind when you hear the word blasphemy. Leviticus 24 says, moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. That's serious things in the Old Testament. Is what, if you were accused of blasphemy, you better get ready for the rock pile. And it is not one you're going to be shoveling, it's maybe one you're going to be under, because that's what they did. They stoned you to death most often, okay? Now, Jesus was blamed for being blasphemous, right? He was doing that easily. In Matthew 26, it says, "Then the high priest tore his robes and said, 'He has blasphemed. What further need do we have to witness this? See, you have heard the blasphemy yourself.'" So here's some warnings for us. Let's just kind of bring this a little bit around the corner here. Don't use the name of God to make promises that you tend to keep. Now, one thing to keep in mind is, it does not say don't ever use the name of God. Why do I know that? Well, you can think of this as, does it mean we can never take the vow? What's that? Thank you. I'm glad you let me do that. We can't take a vow, right? That's not true. What happens in the marriage ceremony? Right? Malachi 2:14 talks about that. Matthew says, "Once our word to be enough." Now, you'll see, don't take a vow, it says in Matthew 26. The intent still is the same thing. When you say your word, do you stand by your word? Is your word enough? I have a really old client. That's a bad word. I have a long-standing client, 18 years plus, who happens to be old, too. She's up there. And we've never signed a contract. Not one. We had a discussion, says, "Here's my rate." He says, "I'm good with that. Do it." And I have worked with him for 18 years, and not once have we ever had a contract discussion. Never once. His word meant something. My word meant something. And that was the end of the story. No contracts needed. Now, I can't say that for everybody. That he's from old school. I knew what he has meant. I knew what his name meant to him. He was very proud. And I knew if he said something, that was it. And he would never go back on it. Is that us? How about don't use God's name to shock or dismay somebody? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. "Guard your steps as you go into the house of God and approach to listen rather to offer a sacrifice to fools, or they do not know what they are doing evil. Do not be quick with your mouth." Has anybody ever said that before? Watch what you say. Have you ever had a discussion with one of your kids? And if you haven't gotten yet, you probably will. It says, watch what the next thing you're going to say here when you're discussing with them, because it will not be good if it doesn't come out the way you think it should. Stop right there. Don't say it. Goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Not everything goes in your brain needs to come out of your mouth. Some things need to be kept in. Using the name of God as an emotional exclamation point. You know, I'm not talking about that. I don't have to get in real detail, I don't think. Right? I'll put it easier. It's sin. Bottom line, it's sin. I don't know how else to put it any other way. Colonel Sanders, everybody knows Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, said when he became a Christian, he lost half his vocabulary. What does that say? Right? Don't eat Kentucky Fried Chicken? I don't know. Maybe. Doing so makes it clear that we don't understand or appreciate who God is, where God is, and who we are and where we are. There's a relationship here. We don't have the right to approach God in a disrespectful way. We can't do it that way. It is not what was designed. Don't use the God to curse another human being. James 3, 9, 10 can help us with that. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people, and we have been made in likeness of God. From the mouth, same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way." If we use the name of the Lord like a weapon, it not only disrespects God's name, but we don't have the authority to use that weapon. It's wrong, right? God will take care of you. Is that any different? That's judgmental, isn't it? We don't have that right to do this type of things. We have to be real careful here. if you don't intend to honor him in your life, why are you disrespecting him? It kind of goes both ways. You can't be one thing here and another thing here and expect anything to mean. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. It's detestable to do that. To say we are Christian, but we look and talk like the world, brings shame and disgrace to God, and we are claiming to be Christians. Right? Our actions in the world should be no different than any other day, any other place. It should be the same. Christians are Christians. A young soldier once was brought to Alexander the Great. And this soldier was awful, disrespectful to administration, his leadership, his generals. And the general brought him to Alexander the Great and him to see what he was going to do. And Alexander first looked at him and said, "What is your name?" And the man replied, "Alexander." Alexander the Great took a step back and said, "One of two things. Either change your name or change your behavior." Because Alexander meant something to him, right? Is that the name of Christian? If we're walking and talking and we're seeing a Christian and we're not following that thing, either change your name or get straight and upright and respect who you are and what you are as a Christian. If you don't, this is called hypocrisy. Hypocrites are those who do one thing here and something different over here and expect everybody to believe what's going on. So, what do we do? Let's guard our heart. Now, if we have a door as our heart, which I'm okay with, what do you do with a door at home to secure it? You keep it locked to keep what out? Right? Now, does it keep things in? Should it? Now, this is a tricky thing here, because when you say that, I'm going to shut my door, that means I'm also not going to present open door to the Christianity I should believe in, right? What we're saying is close the door to evil. Keep the good inside. Don't let the evil in. So we close that door to do that, okay? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." What does that mean? It means that what you see goes into your heart. What you say goes into your heart. What you hear goes in your heart. If you're around a lot of worldly people all the time, it is not hard to have that infiltrate yourself if you don't watch it. What you think. I had somebody tell me once, "I can't control what I think. It just pops in my head, and I think it." What's the answer to that? Anybody ever had an answer to that? Simple. Put something else in there that shouldn't, and you're not going to be thinking about the bad stuff. You're going to have something in there else to think about. Read your Bible. Put stuff in that's good. And the popping of the things that are your thoughts can't do. You can't have two things at one time. I don't know. Have you ever thought about two things exactly at the same time? Now you can switch, right? Somebody says, "I can multitask." You know, the reality is nobody can really multitask. It's impossible. Their brain can only do one thing at a time. Now you can switch real fast. And I know a lot of people who can switch really fast and have 14 balls in the air at the same time. And they're switching all the time, but they're only doing one thing at a time. If you've had thoughts in what you think you're struggling with, and put something else there that can't let it switch to something that's bad. The result, everything you do flows from your heart. Why does God want us to really check our heart? So, guard your house, guard your mouth is the other thing. Set a guard over your mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Protect what you say. Words are powerful. Words have meaning. Anybody who says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me, never had anything ugly said to them. Words hurt. And they can be long-lasting. Don't just let anything out of your mouth. If you speak about God, be very careful about what you say. Jesus kind of summed this all up a little bit for us. If you want to turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 12. I'll put the scripture on the board in just a minute, so if you don't have it handy, you'll see it in just a minute. But Jesus is the one that kind of put everything in perspective for us, to kind of summarize the entire process here of what this is all about. Words come from the heart. They don't begin on our lips. They flow from the heart. Irreverent, insulting, blasphemous words come from an irreverent, insulting, blasphemous heart. Wrongly speaking about God results from wrongly thinking about God. We'll be judged by the words. By our words, we'll either be justified or condemned. The casual thought, I was just kidding around, I wasn't being serious, doesn't reflect the seriousness of God and what he places that upon our words. Solomon said that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words have the power to heal or to destroy. This will honor our God, who is the giver of life, or curse the God who judges us all. Either assume the tree to be good or bad, but it can't be both. And you can look that up. I'm out of time. So appreciate your input and your attention. And hopefully Jordan will be back Wednesday night.